This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Will Brinson will join us in seconds. I have this bit of news that is not yet official, but it is imminent. Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson will join Dustin Johnson and others on the LIV Golf Series Tour. The Phil Mickelson thing we could see coming. There's really nowhere else for him to go right now. And the Ricky Fowler thing, it's one of the saddest things in the last 3 years of sports in the United States, that Fowler, who used to be great, isn't anymore. And is, desperately trying to hang on to relevance. And by the way, this won't help that, but it will pad his bank account. I'm sure he's getting a lot of money up front to go play with LIV, but we'll talk about that tomorrow more, even maybe a little bit more today, but Rich Lerner of Golf Channel is going to join us tomorrow. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast moderator, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Mr. Brinson, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. The LIV thing is funny, right? It's not funny, I guess.
Sad.
But it is some of these dudes are getting, like, Kevin Na got a $40 million check up
sure.
front to go play
yep.
on the LIV tour.
Kevin Na. Kevin
Na.
Kevin Na.
$40 million.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
How is he supposed to walk away from that?
Like, I don't want to say I don't blame these guys. Okay, I said this the other day, and I don't want to extend this conversation any longer than it has to be. I said this the other day that if we substituted the Saudi royal family, we take cross that out and write, South American drug cartel. Like it would appear different to a lot of people, but But
now at the same, you don't want me. We don't want to argue about it. Can't. I was just going to say that there are a lot of sponsors of American athletics, and I'm not saying the same thing. I'm just saying if you dive into the morality.
Oh sure, there is total hypocrisy all over the place. The PGA Tour has a PGA Tour China. Right?
Right.
I would argue that the two regimes are probably not identical, but it's still bad. There's no way I'm going to say otherwise. China's not trying to destroy the PGA Tour. LIV, through Greg Norman, is trying to destroy the PGA Tour.
Yes.
I am most interested in what their reaction will be, the tours as well as the U.S. Opens. All right, let's get to, and the Masters really holds the biggest trump card here, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. I want to ask this about the NFL and their really non-reaction. They're not even saying anything about what to do with Deshaun Watson. A 23rd woman came out. As though it matters. We've already had 22. A 23rd probably doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. How does the NFL not have any idea what they're going to do at this point? Or maybe they do and they're just waiting.
I think that the NFL is going to – they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to issue a lengthy discipline for Deshaun Watson ahead of the 2022 NFL season, or – they're going to give a part one discipline ahead of the 2022 NFL season with more discipline TBD or available for before ahead of the 2023 NFL season. In other words, this has gotten to the point where, even though they're continuing to investigate, they're going to push it off as long as they can. I think they're going to try to get, they're going to drop something in training camp would be my guess. They will do it in the preseason or training camp and they will announce it. And Watson's suspension will be X number of games for 2022, depending on what they feel that they found. and or they'll say, all right, we're going to do this for 2022, but we're also going to issue, you know, we're going to let him know that he is subject to further discipline depending on the resolution of these cases and any further investigative findings in the ahead of the 2023 NFL season.
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
We've heard so many things, and first of all, including the potential of settling lawsuits. He was the what I had read was that he had offered each of the 22 women $100,000, which doesn't seem like it would really solve the problems individually. I understand it adds up to a lot of money from Deshaun Watson going out, but with 22, it just doesn't seem like that would sway me one way or the other. I almost think the number should be, five times that if I were one of the women. I'm not saying that they deserve to make money or don't deserve. It's a bizarre situation. But what I don't understand is why the NFL hasn't done anything now. And for those people who think that, well, he's already missed a year, he got paid for the entire year. He got paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He wasn't even on the exempt list. He was active. The Texans played a one man down, basically, by having Deshaun Watson active for the course of the 2020 NFL season, or 2021 NFL season, excuse me. So, that is not, there is absolutely zero, quote-unquote, time served that Deshaun Watson is eligible for based on missing, you know, quote-unquote, missing all of last year, because he was basically just a really, really expensive third-string quarterback who was, you know, active on game days. I mean, it was crazy the Texans did that. Like, it put them at a huge competitive disadvantage to have somebody they knew they wouldn't play, who they were paying a lot of money to, and who was active for the course of the entire season. Like, no surprise, they ended up with a high pick, right? I think for the NFL, the reason that they – look, they just have – the NFL doesn't have to do anything right now. And I think that's the key point. They don't want to issue – so you remember the Ray Rice stuff, right? And I know that the NFL, deservedly caught so much flack for how they handled that.
Yes.
But when they issued the 2-game suspension for Ray Rice, they weren't aware of the videotape that, and I'm not saying that I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to get in the head of these, the people making the decisions for the NFL. If they make a decision now and say Deshaun Watson suspended 6 games and that is the finality of the decision and that is the end of it, and then it comes out that there's like 22 more women, right? I mean, just hypothetically, or, 10 more women, whatever you want to do. And then all of a sudden they can't go back on it. So for the NFL, I think what they want to do is push it out as far as they can ahead of the season. And then if they feel like they've got enough uncovered in their evidence to justify a lengthy suspension, like a full year, then maybe they'll do that. If they feel like they don't have enough, I could see them suspending him 6 games or 8 games and letting him try to appeal back to 4, back to 6, whatever it is, and then saying you are subject to, again, they want the ability to come back and discipline him further for the 2023 NFL season, so that way they don't look like they're taking a soft approach here, particularly in light of what MLB did to Trevor Bauer, giving him a 2-year suspension.
That's and with Major League Baseball, they didn't even credit him for time served.
I know. It's crazy. I had heard something that they tried to do a time serve thing and he refused to. Maybe it was a little more, animosity between Manfred and Trevor Bauer.
I really don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened with the Trevor Bauer thing,
But my read on it is that this is essentially just he's got a kink. He found some women who also have a similar kink. I mean, it's just a weird thing. If you read into the story, you go, I don't know.
It's a very, very bizarre.
It's an adult story.
It's an adult story, all right. And look, I'm just saying that when I use the Bauer thing, I'm not. It's more of a PR comparison,
right? No, I get it.
That if the NFL is like Sean Watson gets 2-game suspension, then you'd be like, well, Trevor Bauer got 2 years. The NFL is condones, you know. So it's just a fine line to walk because if you suspend a guy 6 games without any criminal conviction, like you're hammered him pretty good relative, you know. Like,
well, they don't need criminal conviction to suspend, no, right?
I know. Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. I mean, Big Ben, you know, I'm just saying like let's say you suspend him 8 games. That's half a season.
Yep.
Like it's a lengthy amount of time. I mean, I don't think it like should go undersold, but I also think that the NFL doesn't want to suspend 8 games and then, you know, more information comes out and it's worse than they thought. And then they get blasted for not doing their investigation correctly.
Right.
So I think they prefer the ability to defer additional punishment down the road. That's their preference.
I mean, they could just levy a punishment and say at the end of their punishment, we reserve the right to extend if more information becomes available. But, you know, maybe.
And let's not forget, too, that the Browns did that whole thing with his salary, where it's like $1 million this year.
Yeah, so I know.
The NFL may want to try and get him on that for next year as well, because knowing, and they may just issue some massive fine too. Like,
let him play this year and suspend him next year. That would be hysterical.
I don't think that's off the table. I also don't think the NFL wants to just go through a full season of Watson playing, you know, without, you know, under the specter of this looming investigation. And by the way, look at the schedule. The Browns have 2 primetime games. I think it's like week 4 and week 6.
Yep.
Maybe I could be wrong on that.
Jacoby Brissett, man. Like,
yeah, they're like, you know, Amazon's like, hey, you know, like if you need to, like everybody, like everybody's like, you need to issue this thing for 6 games before the season because nobody wants to have this conversation.
All right, let me. you're right. Like on TV, nobody wants to be talking about that. All right, the contract that Deshaun Watson received from the Browns, which completely, 100% unjustified, based on performance. Forget about the transgressions. Based on his performance, completely unjustified contract, fully guaranteed $230 million deal from the Browns. But that impacts other contracts, meaning
yes,
we've got Kyler Murray wants his money. Lamar Jackson is waiting this out, but you know he wants his money. How do you assess these two situations? For me, Lamar gets paid before Kyler 100 times in a row. But how do you see these two things playing out?
All right, and you could throw Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow in there as well.
True.
Because after
yeah.
this season, they'll both be eligible. And the reason I mentioned, all right, I'm going to talk Kyler and Lamar, and then I'll circle back to Burrow and Herbert real quickly. But Lamar is, this is like really, really, so he doesn't have an agent, right? And
dude,
it's crazy. And from
uh-oh. No, we lost him. We lost him. If we can hook back up, let's do it. And if not, we actually could grab him on the other side if he can't hook right back up. So, yes, if you were not aware, Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent, which in this case, he could simply take a copy of Deshaun Watson's contract, walk into the Baltimore Ravens offices and put it in front of whoever's running the Ravens now and say, cross out Deshaun Watson and write Lamar Jackson. I kind of finished the thought. Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent, Will.
Yeah, but the issue is he's not reaching out to Eric DaCosta, the GM, to negotiate. Like DaCosta, the owner said, he's like, look, Eric can only call Lamar so many times
right.
before he's just going to like and ask for like Lamar's not even like trying to have conversations about extension. It's very bizarre. Kyler,
no, he's going to wait till the end.
Sure. He's going to ride it out. Go full Kirk Cousins on him.
Absolutely.
Kyler obviously wants to get paid. And then the interesting thing, and we talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe even last week. It's hard to remember at this point, but you know, because of the antiquated CBA rule, these owners have to put all this money into any guaranteed money in a contract into escrow. Well, these teams don't want to put $230 million into escrow. That's a lot of money. That's like half of Mark Davis's net worth, you know? And so like, you look at the Chargers and the Bengals, two teams that aren't, you know, like we're not talking, you know, $16 billion, you know, owners. Like that's a tough scene for them. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I don't know how it's all going to work out, and we're kind of out of time, so we'll talk about Herbert and Joe Burrow, and real quick, if Aaron Donald is going to float the possibility of retiring, would you advise him to show up to minicamp?
No, I'd never show up to minicamp if I was Aaron Donald.
I mean, he's killing his own leverage if he shows up to minicamp.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I'm listening to him go, I might retire. And he floated this out before the Super Bowl. And now he's going to show up to minicamp. He wants to get paid. He should get paid. And he should get paid a lot more than the $15 million I believe that is coming to him. He should be the highest paid defensive player in the sport. And I don't care who's making the most defensively. He should make it because he's the best defensive player. Honestly, he's the best defensive player I've seen since Lawrence Taylor.
Agreed completely. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's just unstoppable, and there's no reason that he's going to get whatever money he wants to get based on the fact that he's threatening to retire because they need to bring him back.
No question about it. Will Brinson, be well. Talk to you later. Appreciate your time, as always.
All right, buddy. See
you. You got it. There's so many more things I wanted to talk to Will Brinson about, but the Deshaun Watson thing is fascinating. It impacts a lot of, you know, not only does it impact Jacoby Brissett, it impacts Baker Mayfield, which – it's just a domino effect, plus the contract impacts so many other things. There's a lot of news about quarterbacks around the NFL, and there are still some pretty sweet remaining free agents out there. I'll point out a couple of those things, and ESPN might have gotten a little premature with burying the two-time Stanley Cup champions. Next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
So the Tampa Bay Lightning, not dead. Through one period, scoreless yesterday, game three, Rangers won games one and two, scored a bunch of goals on the Lightning. And, what's wrong with Andrei Vasilevsky and blah, blah, blah. And Adam Fox outplaying Victor Hedman. He can't do this. He can't. Like, I'm glad that ESPN has hockey. I'm really glad they have hockey because they're paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. Right? And when ESPN pays attention to it, by the way, television ratings bear this out. Mm-hmm. So, hockey ratings this year are up. Why? Because ESPN has it. It ain't that hard. So, I assume ESPN was paying attention to, like, the Canes and the Bruins, to, like, the Canes and the Rangers, and, like, 13 straight home teams won those two particular series until the Rangers won Game 7. I don't know why it's foreign to them that the Lightning might actually have something in Game 3. Now, I will say that it does appear to me that the Rangers might be the better team. But it's 2-1, and the better team doesn't always win. But it was baffling. They were, I believe, stunned yesterday. Nothing that we watched should shock you. Mm-mm. Nothing. Vasilevsky was great.
Yeah.
I have a question for the people at Emily Arena in Tampa. So Nikita Kucherov scores the first goal that makes it 2-1 power play goal. First four goals are all power play goals. Rangers scored two, then Tampa scored two. Kucherov on a one-timer from below the right faceoff circle. He scores to make it 2-1. Steven Stamkos, midway through the third period, a one-timer at the left faceoff circle to make it 2-2. It was a direct pass from Kucherov. So Kucherov has the first goal. Then he has the primary assist on the second goal. And then did you see the pass to Andre Palat on the third, on the goal with 42 seconds left? It was sublime.
Yeah.
It was one of those passes that make you go, oh, my God, what a pass. Forget about the goal. Like, I'm not saying it was easy for Andre Palat. It wasn't an easy shot at all. He actually, it looked like it glanced off the glove of Shesterkin. Mm-hmm. But my gosh, what a pass. And that was Kucherov again. How does that guy not get one of the three stars?
I don't know, goal, two assists in a 3-2 game?
How does that guy not get one of the, like, I don't know if he was the best player on the ice. It was probably Vasilevsky. He was probably the best player on the ice for the Lightning. But
I mean, Shesterkin did make 49 saves yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, all three stars should come from the winning team. Always. Should always come from the winning team. Sorry. It ain't that big a deal. We're not adding up points at the end of the year.
Ah, we should make a FedEx Cup
exactly.
for stars.
Exactly. My gosh, Kucherov was amazing yesterday. Real quick, you mentioned Shesterkin.
Mm-hmm.
So Corey Perry slashes him in the second period. Easy, easy call.
Yeah.
But Shesterkin launched himself through his stick. Like, Perry didn't hit him that hard. He just didn't. He slashed him. Easy call. Easy penalty. I don't know what we need to get an embellishment call. I don't. It was so blatant. It was so obvious what Shesterkin was doing. And they just let it go. So, by the way, the Rangers did score their first power play goal on that penalty. It should have been 4-on-4 because that was embellishing.
Yeah.
There's no question it was embellishment.
Like when Trouba got bumped by, what was it, Ian Cole?
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, much worse than that, in my opinion.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.